The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Folks, welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, are you ready to listen to a man of grace, sophistication, integrity, and whimsy? Well, so are we. But until such a man shows up, please welcome Eric Metaxas.
Hey there, folks. Welcome to the program. It's Wednesday, the 27th of March. I am in Dallas, Texas. Chris Himes, you also are in Dallas, Texas.
Howdy. I am in Dallas, Texas.
You are in Dallas, Texas. And our engineer, James, is in Dallas, Texas. And John Zmirek is in Dallas, Texas. If you're not in Dallas, Texas, would you raise your hand? We're in Dallas, Texas. We were here for a big event last night. We showed, it was a big screening of Letter to the American Church. My goodness, I'm sick of that film. But you know what? If you haven't seen it yet, it's kind of funny. After the fifth time, I was like, okay, I got it. But most people haven't seen it yet. And the audience reaction last night to the screening of this film here in Dallas, I just want to say it just gives me hope for America. People need to know that they can go to lettertotheamericanchurch.com. You can see where there are free screenings at churches. And I keep saying that if your church, a number of prominent churches in Dallas have not yet said they want to do a free screening. And I'm putting the pressure on them. If you go to church anywhere, ask them to do a free screening. They go to lettertotheamericanchurch.com. You can sign up there. It's literally free. So I just hope that people will go to lettertotheamericanchurch.com and check it out. I want to talk about the bridge collapse yesterday. Was that yesterday morning? Oh, my gosh. How much is happening in the world? That's yesterday, Chris? That was yesterday.
It was Monday.
So I'm not going crazy. No. It's unbelievable. I want to talk about that for a minute. But just to be clear, we are today. I'm just confused because I'm in Dallas and so much is going on. So today, because it's Easter week, I'm talking to a pastor from New Hampshire, and he is Well, he wrote a book about the kindness of God, and I think particularly during Easter week, it's appropriate to talk about the kindness of God. So that's coming up in a few minutes. In our next segment, I'm talking to the folks from the Alliance Defending Freedom. This is my opportunity to say again that they are heroes in America, and I want everyone who listens to this program to please give them something. Please help them. They need your help. Please. You go to MetaxasTalk.com. You just type it into your browser. I know it's a pain. You can do it on your phone. MetaxasTalk.com. It'll come up. Please give something to them. Please be a part of this. We just got a couple of more days. We're way, way, way behind raising what we had hoped to raise for them. Please help us get there. You have to go to MetaxasTalk.com. And you'll see the banner. There's a phone number as well. I'll read that in a few minutes, but I just hope that everybody will participate in that. And we're going to be talking to senior counsel Kelly Fedoric in a moment. And then we're going to bring on Elizabeth Gillette, who's one of the clients who was willing to tell her story. It's a gruesome story. But this is why ADF exists. They go to bat for us. And so that'll be next. Then I'll talk to Pastor. I'm going to talk to Pastor, the pastor from New Hampshire in our next segment. And we'll talk to the ADF folks in hour two. I'm also going to talk to a filmmaker who's made a documentary film about RFK Jr. It's at least fascinating. I got to tell you that it's just fascinating, the journey. So we're talking to him today. In hour two, we're going to rerun my conversation with Steve Dace. He's written a children's book on Easter. So we've got a lot of stuff coming up. I want to remind people about Socrates in the City, April 5th in Charleston. If you want to watch that live, you have to be a member of Socrates Plus. So go to SocratesInTheCity.com, sign up there. I'll also mention that my book, the sequel to Letter to the American Church, is coming out April 23rd. And it's a $26 book. So, you know, usually people discount it a little bit. Between today and Easter, so this week only, if you get it through Socrates in the City, or you can link through my website, erictaxas.com, 50% off, $13 for the book. Folks, it's never going to be anywhere near that on Amazon or anywhere. I promise you that. So if you want the book, the day it comes out, you can pre-order it now for $13 a copy. Please take advantage of this, because we can't do this again. This is just to get you excited about the book and to get in the hands of people, because $13 is just, you know, you don't discount a book 50% off the list price. So I want to say you have to go to SocratesInTheCity.com so you can sign up for Socrates Plus. And if you go to SocratesInTheCity.com, you can buy this book for $13. It's a $26 book. Trust me on this one. You're never going to get it anywhere near that again. So a couple things, Chris, before we go to our guest to talk about the kindness of God. What happened with this crash into the bridge? Last night, I watched a video. I watched an interview. Steve Bannon on War Room interviewed Laura Logan. Laura Logan, I posted it on Twitter. She breaks it down. You wonder why this woman was such a celebrated journalist for CBS before they decided to throw her under the bus because she was too much of a truth teller to be able to work at CBS. She breaks down what her intelligence sources have told her. There is no doubt when you listen to this, you can follow me on Twitter. You could click on it on my Twitter feed. She breaks down in 10 minutes. There is no doubt that this was, you can call it what you will, whether it's a terrorist attack or it was China, but this was a massive, massive hit on our American infrastructure. It is going to cost us, it's going to cause our groceries to increase in price. In other words, they took out a major supply line. And when you listen to her break it down, it is stunning. What is further stunning is that why did the Biden administration rush to say, oh, it's not a terrorist thing, or it's just an accident? First of all, that's not true. Secondly, even if you thought it might be true, you don't rush out and say that when you don't know yet, because the intel sources say, no, we are pretty clear that this was an intentional hit, that this is not some bridge. This was a major artery. This was a major supply chain link in America, major, huge. And this is going to take us something like 4 to 5 years to rebuild. I mean, it's insane, insane. Laura Logan breaks it down. And I just got to tell you, go to my Twitter feed. If you can't find it elsewhere, it's on my Twitter feed. It is, or X. But that interview with her, my jaw dropped. I thought, this is a brilliant journalist. She has done all the homework on this. She's talked to tons of people. She knows it inside and out. She breaks it down, but it's so brilliant. So I want to recommend that to you. I want to say again, we're here in Dallas. Yesterday, I was at Daystar TV with Joni Lamb. Talking about my book, Letter to the American Church, talking about the film, Letter to the American Church, talking about my upcoming, the sequel book, Religionless Christianity. So we'll get that and we'll post that. If you don't get our newsletter, ericmetaxas.com is where to get the newsletter, because we keep sending out videos of all these interviews and stuff that you couldn't possibly find elsewhere. I met so many wonderful people last night at this event, at the screening of the film, Letter to the American Church. I just want to say those of you who listen to this program regularly, when I meet you and you tell me stuff that, you know, you've read my books or whatever, it all just means so much. I want to say thank you for being loyal listeners, supporting this program. Before we go in this segment, I want to remind you, we're doing a fundraiser for ADF. We really need your help pretty desperately, folks. These are heroes. They're doing God's work. They're saving America. So I want you to call, either go to MetaxasTalk.com or call 855-385-0596, 855-385-0596, 855-385-0596. For 10 years, Patriot Mobile has been America's only Christian conservative wireless provider. And when I say only, trust me, they're the only one. Glenn and the team have been great supporters of this show, which is why I am proud to partner with them. Patriot Mobile offers dependable nationwide coverage, giving you the ability to access all three major networks, which means you get the same coverage you've been accustomed to without funding the left. When you switch to Patriot Mobile, you're sending the message that you support free speech, religious freedom, the sanctity of life, Second Amendment, and our military, veterans, and first responder heroes. Their 100% U.S.-based customer service team makes switching easy. Keep your number, keep your phone, or upgrade. Their team will help you find the best plan for your needs. Just go to PatriotMobile.com/Metaxas, PatriotMobile.com/Metaxas, or call 972-PATRIOT, 972-PATRIOT. Get free activation when you use the offer code Metaxas. Join me, make the switch today. That's PatriotMobile.com/Metaxas. Legacy Precious Metals has a revolutionary new online platform that allows you to invest in real gold and silver online. In a few easy steps, you can open an account online, select your metals of choice, and choose to have them stored in a vault or shipped to your door. You have access to a dashboard where you can track your portfolio growth in real time, anytime. You'll see transparent pricing on each coin and bar. This puts you in complete control of your money. The platform is free to sign up for. Visit legacypminvestments.com and open your account and see this new investing platform for yourself. Gold hedges against inflation and against a volatile stock market. A true diversified portfolio isn't just more stocks and bonds, but different asset classes. This new platform allows you to make investments in gold and silver, no matter how small or large, with a few clicks. Visit legacypminvestments.com to get started. You're going to love this free new tool they've added, legacypminvestments.com, legacypminvestments.com. Check it out. Folks, welcome back. I have as my guest now, Nate Pickowitz. Did I pronounce that correct, Pastor Nate?
You did, yes.
I did. And you're in New Hampshire.
Yep.
I think that was the headline for me. I said, a pastor in New Hampshire? I want to talk to this guy because I'm in Connecticut, grew up in Connecticut, and the Northeast, in many ways is secular. So when I find a pastor in the Northeast who is doing God's work, I want to get to know that guy. So what part of New Hampshire are you in?
So the town is Gilmanton, Iron Works. It's a place that not even people in New Hampshire know where it is. So it's smack dab in the center of the state.
And you have a book. I want to talk to you about your book, obviously. It's called The Kindness of God, Beholding His Goodness in a Cruel World. It's a beautiful concept. But before we get to that, I want to ask you your story. Did you grow up in the Northeast? How did you end up being a pastor? What's your story?
Yeah, so I grew up in the town that I'm pastoring in right now. So we planted a church up here in 2013. And so this is where I'm born and raised. So I grew up going to church, wasn't sure if I was a Christian or not. I don't think I was at the time. But then later on in my 20s, came to faith in Jesus Christ and was working in the financial service industry, and then was called into ministry at my local church and just began to grow in my knowledge, desire to shepherd people, pastor people. And then we planted right here in my hometown 11 years ago, and I've been cranking ever since.
And where did you what did you study in college? Where did you go to college? You didn't think you were going to be a pastor.
No, I went to college in Pennsylvania. I went to a Muhlenberg College in Allentown and was studying music and communication so I could write songs about being unemployed. And then as I got out, I was in the financial services industry, bottomed out of that, and eventually just began to develop a love for ministry. And the Lord just called me out of all of that. It was pretty amazing.
Yeah. When did you have your born again experience? I mean, you know, to go from that to saying, I want to give my life to serving God, how did that happen?
Yeah, I think I was saved probably around 24, 25 years old. We were going to a church. Again, I was hearing the gospel and I was remembering hearing it as a kid, but for the first time, it was making sense to me. And I was understanding my sinful condition. I was understanding Christ, his salvation, my need for forgiveness. So all those things clicked probably about 24 years old. Met my wife. She came to Christ at the same time. And then we just began to grow and develop. And I fell in love with the Word of God and just wanted to teach it to people. And that was kind of the beginning.
So did you go to school? You went to school in Chicago for your you got your MA at Trinity?
So I didn't go to that Trinity. It was a different Trinity, Trinity College of the Bible, which is in Indiana. So I've got a master's from that right now. And I just began to study theology and just wanted to understand doctrine and how to apply that to people. Up in New England, you know, the context is very different. You know, people are not well-versed in the Bible, not well-versed in doctrine.
They used to be a lot of 200 years ago.
What's that?
I said they used to be well-versed like 200 years ago, but they've kind of
drifted. That's right. That's right. So, and that's the thing. That's where we are. You know, we're 150 years out from where we were spiritually healthy. And so there's definitely a need for revival. There's a need for just going down to the basics, teaching the Word of God, teaching the gospel, and that's what I want to do.
Okay, so the book that you've written that we're talking about today is the subject is God's kindness.
Yeah.
What compelled you to write a book on that subject?
Yeah, I found that as I was praying and just talking to the Lord, I found myself thanking him for being good to me, you know, looking at my children, my wife, the church, all these different blessings that I had. And I just began to thank him for being kind. And then as I was pondering, I'm thinking, well, has there ever been a study on this? And I was looking around and couldn't find exactly what I was looking for. So I began to study it and write it. And then as I published it, I realized that this conversation is a little bit bigger. There's a lot of people struggling with trying to understand God's kindness right now. And so it just seemed like the right thing at the right time. Yeah.
So when you talk about God's kindness, what do you mean by that? Let's talk about that.
Yeah, so the way I define it in the book and the way that scholars look at this is the goodness of God. So his righteousness, his moral perfection, his beauty, everything that is good, inherently good in God gets displayed to us in kindness. So it's the goodness of God shown to us or given to us. So that's God's kindness to us. And then we just see that played out in a number of different ways. And those are the things I talk about in the study, is just trying to see how we can apprehend God's kindness in different aspects of our lives. So that's the big idea.
And how does kindness differ from mercy, from, you know, in other words, what words are we talking about? Is the term in the scripture loving kindness? I always try to understand. I mean, is it God's grace to us? I mean, the idea that I was just thinking about this the other day, that when you realize that God is just and if you do something unbelievably wicked, I think of Hitler or Mao or Stalin, really sadistic monsters who do these evil, evil things. And God offers himself. He says, if you believe in me and give me your heart and your life, I will pay the debt for the evil that you have done. It's really almost unbelievable. And it just breaks you if you realize that that's who he is. And it seems to me that that's part of what you're getting at here.
Yeah, in the book, I try not to delineate too much in terms of getting swallowed up in which Greek word is translated this way, that way. I really just took kindness as a broad concept. So I look at, you know, verses like hesed in the Hebrew, which refers to God's steadfast love or covenant love, but we translate it loving kindness. Other words in the New Testament that talk about it. But the big idea is when God displays goodness to us, and whether that's in salvation. Now, in salvation, he is demonstrating his grace. He's also giving us mercy, forbearance. So all these different things, but we see this laid out in different topics of salvation, repentance and faith, growing in Christ-likeness. We even see kindness displayed to the world, a world that hates him. He is still kind to those who hate him. It's amazing.
It is amazing. Sometimes, just if I look at nature, there's something heartbreaking about it when you realize that God created this. So the idea, the preposterous lie that this just happened, that blind forces that don't care about us somehow by accident created the beauty of the trees and the birds and the blueness of the blue sky and the clouds, it doesn't make sense. And then when you realize that there's a mind behind this, that there's a person, capital P, behind this, the birds singing in the morning could break your heart, could make you cry, because it is so beautiful. And that, to me, is part of God's kindness and goodness that he displays to us. And as you just said, it's for everybody. It's not just for those that did the right thing, you know, today.
Yeah, it's a huge point. You know, even it's funny when you have a person who curses God and hates God and says all those kinds of things. The fact that they have air in their lungs to say things against God is kindness in and of itself. But yeah, I think that a lot of times I think we miss seeing God's goodness in all these different things, especially when we have a world that's falling apart. You know, we have a cultural climate, a political climate, whatever the situation is, where we're tempted to think that God is not good, or he's not kind, or he's withholding something. I think we have to check ourselves. And that was another reason why I wanted to explore this, is to say, listen, Christians, don't take this for granted. Lean into this, explore this, appreciate this, and your contentment and your thanksgiving, your relationship with God will grow, because you'll see him doing things that you never thought possible.
Yeah. How does, you know, when we talk about God's kindness, again, that's the subject of your book, it affects us in a number of ways. Obviously, it leads us to repentance, or it's meant to.
Yes. So Romans 2:4 says it's the kindness of God that leads to repentance. So again, God's kindness to an unbelieving world, those are opportunities for people to turn. You know, when God blesses the ungodly, which is everybody, by the way, but when he blesses people, they're meant to turn their hearts to him and put their faith and trust in him. But even for us, you know, those who have been redeemed, who love Christ, our salvation doesn't come because, like you say, you know, we did the good thing, or we're good enough. Anybody that gets saved by God's grace.
Pause there. I want you to finish that thought and others.
Sure.
When we come back, folks, don't go away. Our God-given freedoms are facing unrelenting attacks. It's a battle for truth, and the only way we win is if we stand together. Thankfully, Alliance Defending Freedom has been defending our rights for 30 years and winning. Right now, they're involved in two critical cases before the Supreme Court. They're suing the FDA for endangering the health and safety of women and girls. And in the second case, they're assisting the state of Idaho to defend its law protecting the lives of women and their unborn children against the Biden administration's attempt to override the law and force doctors to perform abortions. Think about it. They need your help. With your best gift, you courageously join ADF in fighting critical Supreme Court cases against government lawlessness and help defend our cherished freedoms. Call 855-385-0596 right now, or go to MetaxasTalk.com. Click on the ADF banner, MetaxasTalk.com. With your help, I've pledged to raise $35,000 by March 31st for ADF. Go to MetaxasTalk.com or call 855-385-0596 to make your best gift now.
Hey, this is Eric Metaxas. For years, I've told you about Nutramedics, a professional supplement brand trusted by doctors since 1993. Nutramedics offers a variety of health bundles. Whether you want to support your immune system, improve your sleep, promote joint comfort, or detoxification support, Nutramedics has a health bundle right for you. The best part about Nutramedics, every year they donate a minimum of 50% of their profits to Christian charities and missions. That's right, 50% of their profits. Nutramedics has a goal of surpassing $100 million in giving by 2030. Many of you take supplements already. Switch to Nutramedics. It's the highest quality, and they donate 50% of their profits. Get 15% off by using the code ERIC during checkout. Go to Nutramedics.com and search health bundles. Support your health while helping others in need. Go to Nutramedics. That's NutraMedix.com. Nutramedics.com. Use the code ERIC for 15% off. Again, Nutramedics, NutraMedix.com. Nutramedics.com. Use the code ERIC for 15% off.
Welcome back, folks. I'm talking to Pastor Nate Pickowitz, who is in New Hampshire. He has written a book called The Kindness of God, Beholding His Goodness in a Cruel World. You were just making a point. I had to cut you off, Pastor Nate. Please finish that point.
Yeah, we were talking about being thankful to God for salvation and not taking His grace and His kindness and His forbearance for granted. So I think that, again, exploring topic, exploring God's kindness is meant to make us grateful. It's meant to make us examine ourselves and really give Him praise and worship for who He is. We're a very self-entitled people right now, and I think we would do well to praise God for even the little things and do the hard work in exploring that.
Yeah. You wrote a book before this called How to Eat Your Bible. I said, I have to ask you about that one. By the same author, Nate Pickowitz. But what is that, How to Eat Your Bible? What do you mean?
Yeah, so that's a book on Bible study that comes from the Scriptures. When the Bible talks about, I think it's one of the prophets, he says, your words were found and I ate them and they were sweet to me. So this idea of intake, there's a biblical epidemic right now, illiteracy epidemic. People just don't know the Word of God. So I wanted to write a book that would be helpful and just give people some tips and pointers and some encouragement on Bible study. So that came out a couple years ago with Moody Press, and just been really thankful that that's been received, and just happy to help people to study their Bible.
Well, it's obviously important. Right now, obviously, I think a lot of people, myself included, realize that our world is in a very bad place right now. I mean, it's just horrible things are happening. I don't need to go into it. Most people know if you look around. Right. And I think you talk about how God's kindness can help us respond appropriately to what's going on around us, to the evil, to the dark stuff that that is happening.
Yeah, so I think there's lots of ways to do that. One is just demonstrating kindness to other people. You know, we used to have something in this country called common decency. We used to be nice to each other just because it was the right thing to do. Not that that is any kind of a saving value, but it was just common courtesy. We don't have that anymore. And what's worse is when Christians don't act kind even to unbelievers and to one another, we're just defaming the name of Christ. So the Bible talks about being kind and tender-hearted to other people and forgiving them because we have been forgiven. So I think when Christians start to demonstrate kindness and not just niceness, that's a huge difference there, but kindness, genuine kindness of God, then the world starts to see us as different. And then the world starts to look at God differently as well. So I think there's lots of ways we can do that.
So are there any stories that you tell in this book? In other words, how is the book structured?
Yeah, so it begins and ends with a story of a woman named Susan who had gone through just terrible ordeals. She just had a bad life, a hard life. And I opened the book with that story because I wanted to expose really the hardest part of this. You know, people read a book about God's kindness and then they say, yeah, but my mother has cancer, or my child is sick, or I'm out of money, or something like that. So I wanted to just head that off at the pass and talk about a person who'd been through a really hard time. And then at the end of her life, she actually does come to Christ. Her trials ultimately lead her to faith in Jesus. So if we start to see our trials as God's tools to bring us closer to him, to strip away idolatry, to strip away self-sufficiency, then we can start to see that he's using even the bad things for good. That's what Romans 8:28 says. So that's the desire, is to see our life and even our trials through God's eyes. Yeah.
And that's the key. I mean, people, you know, who know me wouldn't know, you know, that over the decades, there's been a lot of suffering, a lot of trials. And I think just because when I became a Christian seriously around my 25th birthday, God really got a hold of me, so that even through the trials, I was able to praise God and see his hand. But it doesn't make the trials go away. It doesn't make the suffering going away. I've had health problems for decades, and you just oftentimes say, Lord, how long? How long is this going to go on? It's just I'm struggling and struggling and struggling. And I know people listening right now are going through all kinds of stuff, and I want to say to them what I say to myself. Praise the Lord in all circumstances. Look to him. Know that he's with you in the dark places. Know it. Don't hope it. Know that that is real, even though it might not feel real. These are the spiritual disciplines, in a sense, that God wants to use even our suffering, especially our suffering, to draw us closer to him. Just talk about that for a moment that we have left.
Yeah, I think about Hebrews 12 when he says God disciplines those he loves. Believers, I think we sometimes struggle when bad things happen, like what you're talking about. We think, oh no, what did I do wrong? Like, God's upset with me. He's trying to hurt me. But what we don't realize is that God is disciplining us for the purpose of godliness. Just read a quick verse here. All discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful, but sorrowful. Yet those who have been trained by it, afterwards it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. That's Hebrews 12:11. So God uses these trials to chasten us and to bring us closer to him. We lean on him. We don't tend to trust God when things are going really well, but we do tend to trust him when things are hard. So, yeah, I would encourage the same thing you would, brother, that if people are going through trials, lean into the Lord. Don't pull away from him. Lean in, and he does comfort those who are afflicted. He's good like that.
Folks, the book is called The Kindness of God, Pastor Nate Pickowitz. Thanks for being my guest.
Thank you for having me on. What it's all. You
never said too much, but still you showed the way. As you know, Mike Lindell has a passion to help you get the best sleep of your life. After he invented the world's best pillow, he created the famous Giza Dream Sheets. They're the best sheets you'll ever sleep on. The best night's sleep just got even better. For a limited time, you'll get a queen-size set for $59.98, king-size just $69.98, the lowest prices in history. Mike and the MyPillow employees continue to be canceled by big box stores and attacked by the media. They appreciate all of your great support during these times and want to thank you by giving you the best specials on all their MyPillow products. To get the best specials ever, go to MyPillow.com or call 800-978-3057. Use promo code ERIC. You get the famous Giza Dream Sheets, queen size $59.98, king size $69.98. You'll also get 60% off the original My Slippers. So call 800-978-3057 or go to MyPillow.com, promo code ERIC. Folks, go to MyPillow.com and use the promo code ERIC. Great bargains. MyPillow.com, promo code ERIC. Snow, cement, and ivory young towers. Someone called us. Folks, welcome back. As you know, there is a film out, a documentary film on the life of RFK Jr. He has been in the news like crazy. And we have today the producer of that film, or one of the producers, Jeff Hayes. Jeff, welcome.
Hey, thank you for having me.
So I've got to ask you the most basic question. What inspired you to create a documentary film about RFK Jr.?
Yeah, I made the documentary of his book, The Real Anthony Fauci, a couple of years ago. And that book was astounding. And during the making of it, I'd known Bobby for a decade, but I really got to spend a lot of time with him. He gave me a copy of his book, American Values, that he wrote. And I read this book, and it was such a fascinating story. I started looking to buy the rights and started working with his agent to buy the rights to that. And then another book came out, The Real RFK Jr. by Dick Russell. And I was able to quickly buy the rights to that book. It was written before he was running for president. He has had the most amazing life. And I was trying to make the film before he announced he was running for president. And so it was just a fortuitous event that, you know, now he has way more press, but it's not a political film. It's literally his biography, which is astounding.
How old was he when his father was murdered?
He was 14 years old. And, you know, this was 5 years after his uncle was murdered. He immediately, his mom sent him to Africa on a service trip, and he shortly thereafter became a heroin addict and was a heroin addict for 14 years until he was 28. He was very functional. He went to Harvard, and then, like his father, he went to University of Virginia Law School, all while being hopelessly addicted to heroin. When he was 28, he was arrested and exposed as an addict. He was arrested having heroin on him. And he thought, well, the secret's out. Now I don't have to hide this anymore. And so he's now got 42 years of sobriety. But you know, what an astounding, you know, the loss of your father, the loss of his uncle, and all the deaths and tragedy that have been spread throughout the Kennedy family definitely took their toll on him. And a really interesting man emerged.
How old is he now? He's got to be in his 70s.
He just turned 70 in January. And, you know, if we could let this presidential race be decided by a push-up and pull-up contest, the race would be over in the next 5 minutes.
Well, I mean, when you talk about somebody being addicted to heroin for all those years and being functional, going to college, that's mind-blowing. I mean, he does have such a fascinating story. Fascinating is a, you know, positive word. I mean, it's positive and it's horrifying, which makes it fascinating as well. It's just amazing. So I didn't know that, right? And what has been, I think the reason so many people know about him is because of the book, The Real Anthony Fauci. I mean, most of us were naive, ignorant, stupid, foolish in the beginning, had no idea where Fauci and Francis Collins and company were taking America. They took our trust, and they just, it's so evil. And so to have a voice like RFK Jr. In the fight against Big Pharma, writing about it, exposing about it, and then finally getting mainstream attention as he has in the last couple of years, it gives me hope, frankly. I mean, it just gives me hope. But what was it in his life that led him to be, how do I put it, you know, an advocate on the vaccine stuff? What happened that just made him say, I'm going to be a voice of this, even though everybody's telling me, shut up, you're an embarrassment. You know, his own family didn't want him to talk about this stuff. What made him know that these vaccines are evil, that we need to talk about it, we need to tell America what's really going on?
Yeah, the price that he's paid for that. He was a Hollywood darling. He wrote a New York Times op-ed twice a year. Everyone in Hollywood loved him. He could pick up the phone and reach anybody in the world, like world leaders. He had open door. They loved him. He was an environmental lawyer who cleaned up the Hudson River. And so the environmentalists loved him. But he kept having these mothers show up at his events where he was trying to get mercury out of our rivers. And he would have these mothers that would sit on the front row, and they would buttonhole him after the event and say, you're trying to get mercury out of the rivers, but our kids are getting it out of vaccines. And he wanted no part of it. Finally, a woman, Sarah Bridges, went to his house in Cape Cod when he was there on vacation, knocked on his door and said, look, you've got to look at this research I brought you. And he said, I want no part of the vaccine issue. And he said, I got to go sailing. He left and sailed for 4 hours, came back, and she was still on his porch. And he said, you're not going to leave, are you? And she said, I'll leave if you'll promise to read this research. And so he agreed, stayed up through the night, read the research, said, I'll make some calls the next day. And when he did, he was lied to. He knew he was being lied to. And it started a fight with the pharmaceutical industry that destroyed his income, destroyed his name. You know, most of his friends abandoned him. And he is just a very stoic individual that once he decided to stand up for these mothers and their kids, he has never let go.
Well, the film is called the RFK movie. It's people real, can find it at the RFKmovie.com. And it is available free. Is that correct?
Yeah, they can see it free until April 15th.
The RFKmovie.com. Just 30 seconds left. What is your hope for the film?
I don't care who somebody votes for, but I do care when the media manipulates one of the candidates and makes them unrecognizable from who they are. So I just want people to know who this person is. They can vote for whoever they want, but not let the New York Times or mainstream media define who someone is without looking into it.
Well, Jeff Hayes, producer of the RFK documentary, thank you so much for being our guest today.
Thank you for having me.
I have done all that I could to see the evil the good without hiding. You must help me if you can. Doctor, my
dare to challenge the status quo with the movie The Real RFK Jr. Watch it for free for a limited time now at the RFKmovie.com. The Real RFK Jr. movie is based on the in-depth biography by New York Times bestselling author Dick Russell, brought to life by award-winning filmmaker Jeff Hayes. Explore the highs and lows of a life dedicated to making a difference. Witness the fearless advocacy of Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Don't miss your chance to watch the untold story of a modern-day hero free for a limited time at the RFKmovie.com. Go to the RFKmovie.com today. Some truths are worth fighting for. For a limited time, watch The Real RFK Jr. movie free at the RFKmovie.com, RFKmovie.com. Portions of the Eric Metaxas Show are brought to you in part by Jeff Hayes Films and The Real RFK Jr. movie. To be clear, the website is RFKmovie.com, RFKmovie.com. Some of you know it's my privilege on this program to highlight the work of heroes in America, and the Alliance Defending Freedom, they're at the top of the list. If you knew what they were doing, we can only touch on it on this program, but if you knew what they were doing, you'd want to help. And that's part of why I have my guest on, Jeremy Tedesco. He's a senior counsel at ADF, senior vice president of corporate engagement for Alliance Defending Freedom. And I want to exhort everybody who's listening to help the Alliance Defending Freedom. We are in a tremendous battle in this nation, and people often say to me, what can I do? And I say, there are many things you can do. One of the things you can do, especially now, is give to the Alliance Defending Freedom. We're raising money for them on this program. And folks, I hope you have some sense of how serious this is, and that whatever little bit you can do, or a lot, it's really needed now. This is not, we're not exaggerating. This is very serious. The phone number, if you want to dial, the phone number is 855-385-0596, 855-385-0596. And the website is MetaxasTalk.com. You'll see the banner MetaxasTalk.com. So, Jeremy Tedesco, we were talking about debanking and how the federal government is attacking people in terms of their ability to do to make financial transactions. It's a scary and amazing moment that we've come to in American history. And to me, the only good news is that it's waking some people up.
Yeah, I think that's right. I mean, we've seen debanking, especially on the basis of viewpoint, has been on the rise the last few years. This hearing last week was really kind of the crescendo of everything we've been seeing. One of our clients, Indigenous Advanced Ministries, is a small ministry in Tennessee that does relief work over in Uganda, builds wells, feeds kids, helps widows and orphans. They got debanked by Bank of America last year in April, had been a longtime customer there, and just were told, look, your risk tolerance exceeds our risk tolerance policies at this point. No good reason at all. We see this again and again and again. And so it's on the rise. National Committee for Religious Freedom was debanked by Chase. The Arkansas Family Council that does pro-life and pro-religious liberty work in Arkansas got debanked by Chase for being so-called high risk. And so we know these things are happening. We know the federal government has incredible control through the regulators that operate on a day-to-day basis in banks, supervising them to push disfavored industries and people outside of the financial marketplace. This is a real problem, and we definitely need to solve for it, whether through litigation or legislation, or just like, you know, Chairman Jordan is doing, shining sunlight on this as a disinfectant. I think the more and more we pressure banks to knock off these practices and even put regulatory pressure on them to knock it off, the better off everybody's going to be. Nobody should be afraid they're going to lose their bank account because of their political or religious beliefs.
Folks, please go to MetaxasTalk.com. Whoever you are, whatever you can do for your own conscience's sake, do something. MetaxasTalk.com is the website. We're trying to raise a lot of money. Every tiny bit will help. We want you to be generous. Go to MetaxasTalk.com or call 855-385-0596, 855-385-0596, 855-385-0596. God bless you.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.